Hello, friends! It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with another edition of the Wednesday Helwani Show. Three great interviews this week. We've got Tatiana Suarez making a big announcement. Edson Barbosa coming off his great win over Shane Burgos this past Saturday. And Chris Cyborg, who returns to action this Friday for Bellator. But of course, before we get to all of that, a quick reminder to all the basketball fans out there. The play-in tournament is underway. Big win by the Celtics last night. Big win by the Indiana Pacers. More coming tonight. I love the play-in tournament. As someone whose favorite team isn't a part of the play-in tournament, I'm all in on the play-in tournament. Can't wait for this weekend. Knicks-Hawks game one. And of course, who better than the great Adrian Wojnarowski to get you set for the play-in tournaments, the NBA playoffs, offseason, the draft, all that and more. Get your NBA news straight from the source. Woj, the man. The legend. Download and follow the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Also, ESPN Plus is giving you live daily coverage of the PGA Championship from the Ocean Course in Kauai Island this weekend from May 20th through the 23rd. Stream the exclusive main feed each morning, feature groups every day, and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/golf. All right, on to today's show, which does contain some language that may not be suitable for our audiences. So as always, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
Back in your life on this Wednesday, May 19th, 2021. Hello again, everyone. I hope you're doing well. Great to be with you on this beautiful Wednesday. The weather is great outside. The action is heating up in and out of the cage all over the sport of MMA. Hopefully, we are turning the corner in the pandemic. There's a lot to be excited about, my friends. And so this weekend, we have more great action, a ton of big fights coming up, sneaky good fights, sneaky good cards, no pay-per-views, but sneaky good cards and sneaky good fights. I'll tell you about them in a bit, but let's get to the interviews first. Later in the program, we'll talk to one of the fighters competing this weekend, Chris Cyborg. She meets Leslie Smith in a fight that is a rematch of a fight that happened 5 years ago. That fight happened at 140 pounds. Cyborg won that fight. She's now the Bellator featherweight champion, 2-0 in Bellator, looking to go 3-0. Spoke to her about why this fight is happening again, her career, any interest in fighting Kayla Harrison, who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, all that and more. Always great to talk to one of the legends of the game, Chris Cyborg. We'll also talk to Edson Barbosa, who defeated Shane Burgos in that fight of the night this past Saturday. What a great fight that was, and he has looked so good at 145. Talk to him about his future at 145, cutting that weight, why he's doing this now in this point in his career, that crazy finish with Burgos, who he wants next, all that and more. But first, you know, people keep asking me about Tatiana Suarez. Where's Tatiana Suarez? Everyone thinks she's a future champion given her skill set and her talent. Haven't seen her since June of 2019. She is back. She is good to go. She is healthy. She's been through a lot, and so I wanted to catch up with her with a big strawweight contender fight coming up this weekend between Carla Esparza and Yan Xiaonan. I thought it would be a good time to catch up with her, but as you'll find out, she threw me a curveball with regards to which weight class she'll be returning to. All right, without further ado, let's kick things off with Tatiana Suarez. All right, so it seems like every few days I am asked this question. Where is Tatiana Suarez? When is she coming back? When is she going to win the strawweight title? Constantly asked about the whereabouts, about the health of one Tatiana Suarez. And so you know what? I thought, why don't I reach out to Tatiana Suarez? It's been a while since we last spoke to her. Have her on to discuss where she's been as of late. And so here she is. Lo and behold, we have tracked down the ever elusive Tatiana Suarez for a few minutes of her time. I appreciate it. Tatiana, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. So I don't know if you know this. I'm assuming you do. You probably get hit up a lot from fans. When are you coming back? Right? People are very interested in your whereabouts.
Yes.
Does that get annoying?
Yeah, it does, but it's okay. I mean, it's better that people actually care, right, than not. So Sorry, we just had puppies, so that's what you hear.
No worries. I can hardly hear it. It's all good. It's good background noise. So where have you been? What's been going on?
So, you know, I've just been nursing my injury, my neck injury, and then, but I'm back to live training. But when I came back, I kind of went crazy. So then, I ended up like breaking my hands, and then I got a concussion, and then I had like some back, like I have chronic back pain. Sometimes it's so bad I can barely walk or stand. So, it just depends on, you know, like I have to be very careful what I do. I have to monitor like who I'm going with. And if I go with someone too heavy, sometimes it acts up. So that's kind of been like happening over the last, since I started going live again, cause I was able to start going live in February. So since then I've been going live, and then all those injuries happened. So then, but now I'm good. So I'm starting, like, it's been like a couple weeks where I've been going live again, and trying to like start a camp soon, hopefully.
Okay, so we will get to that. Last time we saw you in action, for those that may have forgotten, June of 2019. So it's been almost 2 years now. You have the neck issue, the injury, bulging disc, correct?
Yes.
You come back from that, you recover from that, and you're good to go come February, and then you break your hand and suffer a concussion. How did you suffer the concussion?
That's a good question. So actually, it happened in our front yard because we were messing around, we were wrestling, and I don't remember, he palmed me in my eye. So I got a concussion. My boyfriend.
He palmed you in the eye and you got a concussion. Yeah. Did you do this often? Do you guys wrestle in the front yard often?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because he fights you. So yeah. we like to like mess around and stuff.
Okay. And was that before or after the broken hand?
That was after.
Which hand?
My right hand.
How'd you break it?
Actually, I was wrestling, but this was actually wrestling practice. So okay. I don't know how I did it, to be honest. I've done it a million times. I like went to shove the head into the center, and I like my hand went into the mat, but it like pulled it back. So like broke my hand, but I don't know. I've done it a million times. I've never done that. I think I was just super excited to go live again, cause that's my first, my first time wrestling in like 2 years. So I was like really excited. So I was doing everything really hard, and then I broke my hand.
Mentally, how do you deal with that? Like, you're away for that long, and then you break your hand, then you suffer a concussion. Like, do you start to think that you're cursed, that you have the worst luck? How do you get over this?
I don't think, no, I just think I went a little too hard. So too fast, you know?
Okay.
Cause I was super excited. It's been so long where I was, you know, just excited to get back out there. So then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a step back. I'm going to ease my way into it. So I've just been like, you know, adding more and more practices over time. So at first I was like going live every single day, and my coach is like, yeah, you can't do that. That's why you're back, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. And it was like, I think maybe the first week I came back, I went to a open mat for like jujitsu, and I rolled for like 2 hours.
Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah. I know. He was like, you should have done like a third of that. I'm like, I know, but I was having so much fun. So, yeah.
While you've been away and dealing with all this stuff, has it been hard for you to watch the UFC and MMA, or like, do you need a break from it because you want to be out there, or has it been the opposite?
No, I watch every single fight card.
Okay. I know you tweet about it a lot, but I didn't know if it was someone doing it on your behalf.
No, absolutely not. No, I do my own stuff. No, I watch every single fight card, and I love watching MMA. It helps me grow as a fighter, martial artist, you know? So I like to learn from other people. I've watched even people at my weight class, like I'll watch them do something. I'm like, oh, you know what? I need to work on that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then it helps me become a better martial artist. Like I know, there was a girl at my weight class, and she was really good at taking the back. And I was like, I don't know why I don't like going to the back, you know, that often. So like, I just kept putting myself in situations to take the back and keep doing it. And then this was right before my Alexa Grasso fight. And then I ended up taking her back and choking her out. So I was like, see, I was I learned from somebody like to put myself in that situation over and over and over again, and then I ended up getting a rear naked choke.
So the neck and back, how are they now?
They're good right now. Yeah. Okay. So the neck hasn't really been an issue. When I had my concussion, it was giving me issues just because of, you know, they're correlated, but my back and my neck feel fine. I went live yesterday. I feel good today.
So would it be fair to say that you are medically cleared to resume your fighting career?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Do you have a fight lined up?
No, I don't. Not yet. I'm like trying to get through a few months without injury before. Okay.
Realistically, when could you, if all goes well, when could you return? When are you targeting?
So when I first started in February, I was like, you know, summer, and I was thinking like July or June, but that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking like maybe hopefully like September, I'm hoping. Okay. Yeah. Even maybe August.
Okay.
We'll see. Yeah.
Has the UFC been hitting you up, or are they kind of just, you know, you reach out to us when you're ready?
Yeah, I had messaged Jaina like a while ago when I started going live. I was like, hey, I'm going live. And he's like, oh, okay. And like, I think he had said something about it. Someone asked him about me, and then he said something about it. But but that was before I broke my hand and got a concussion, all that stuff. So, but I'm fine now. So I think, you know, I think I'll be good. Hopefully soon. I can't wait.
Yeah, I bet. And I know a lot of people are excited to see you come back. When and if you do come back in August, September, are you coming back as a flyweight or a strawweight?
So I was going to try out flyweight for a couple of fights and see how I feel there. Because, you know, all the fights that I've had at strawweight, during the fight, I always felt like I was like I felt weak and tired. So I was wondering if maybe just the weight cut was too draining for me. And it was usually like, I've never had an issue making the weight. It was just the day after I felt like I wasn't fully recovered. And I don't know if other people feel that way too. I don't know if that's a natural feeling, but I definitely feel way stronger and more explosive when I practice than when I fight. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, maybe I need to try like something where I don't cut very much weight at all, you know, because like I was walking around at 130, now I'm walking around at 135. So I'm like, maybe, you know, if I'm not cutting too much weight at all, if I'll be a little bit more stronger and explosive. Yeah, I'll have to fight people that like are probably 145 or whatever going into the fight, but I don't really care about that. I don't know how much someone a 135er weighs, but or 125er weighs going into a fight, but I think can't be that much.
So would you say that your next stop is 125? Like you've decided that when you return it will be at 125?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna try 125 my next bouts, and then, but I don't think I'm gonna abandon the 115 division. I think I'm just gonna try it out and see how I feel. If there's a difference for me fighting.
It's interesting because Valentina's looked so good, and so you're going to that weight class. Most people try to avoid her. I don't know. When you watch her fight, do you feel like you have the skill set to give her her first loss at 125?
I do think I have a good skill set in terms of, you know, my wrestling could give her trouble. Yeah, she's a very good striker. And she has good wrestling too, as you saw her last fight. And people are like, well, you know, I thought you would have had her in the wrestling department. Like, you can't compare my wrestling with Andrade's wrestling because our wrestling is just so different. She's more of like just super strong and like explosive, and mine's much more technical. So that's I think the big difference there.
We also have a big fight coming up in the strawweight division this weekend. Someone that you know very well, Carla Esparza, going up against Yan Chanan, who I think.
Oh, that's this weekend.
Yeah, that's this weekend. Awesome. Probably a number one contender fight. Do you think Carla wins?
I don't know. We'll see. I think Yan does struggle with some takedowns. I think she's been taken down a couple of times. So we'll see if, you know, Carla is strong enough to get her down. Because I think that's kind of where Carla struggle sometimes, like if the person's pretty strong or you know has good takedown defense, it's really hard for her to get them down because she seems to be I don't know, smaller than everyone else. Mm-hmm. I would say shorter. I wouldn't say smaller. Because, like, when we fought, we were, like, a pound difference when we went into the fight, which I was surprised.
Right.
I was like, that's crazy. But, yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see if she's strong enough to get that yawn down. Yawn down. We'll see if she's strong enough to get her down. But I think she can get it done. She's pretty good at getting people down to the ground. We'll see.
Are you surprised to see Rose back as champion at 115?
No. Yeah.
Is that a fight that interests you?
Absolutely.
What's the dream fight for you? What's the fight that you think about at night? Who's the opponent?
I do think about fighting her often. Yeah. Actually.
Why her?
Because she's so, you know, she's beat all the great champions, you know, like, the people that they didn't think would ever lose. Like, you know, when Joanna was, was champion, no one thought, you know, anybody was going to give her problems, and then Rose went and dominated her twice. So and then, you know, no one thought Weili was going to lose, and then Rose goes and beats her within you know, a couple minutes of the fight happening. So yeah, that's something that does interest me for sure.
How much are you jonesing to compete again? I feel like you're someone who thrives on, you know, that competition. Do you miss it dearly?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm super excited to get back out there, especially, I don't know. I mean, it's fun to practice for sure, but it's just different competing. You know, everybody knows that. It's like super exciting to just show what you've been working on. And then actually, you know, like show, like you're a one-on-one in the cage with somebody. So it's super exciting to do that too.
Have you been able to stay positive? Like, do you have, you know, 2 years away from something that you love, I would imagine is pretty tough. How have you been able to remain, you know, focused and positive?
It's, you know, it has its ups and downs. You know, sometimes you're like, okay, this is very frustrating, you know, because I didn't think it would take this long for it to heal. I thought it would be fine within, you know, within a few months, and then it took 2 years, you know. And then I had ended up when I started going and I started going live again and ended up getting those injuries, I was like, oh my goodness. And I was definitely struggling mentally then, just because I was like, okay, I thought I was clear, you know, like I thought I could start working towards, you know, fighting again. And then that happened. So yeah, it's been definitely tough mentally, but you know, I think if anybody can deal with it, I can.
And the fact that people still, you know, are asking for you and still think that you're the future champion, all that, I'm sure that lifts your spirits, in addition to being maybe at times frustrating because you want, you know, people to stop asking when you're coming back. You just want to be a part of the mix. So I guess there's a you know, a gift and a curse involved in that as well.
That's definitely a positive. Like, I can't wait to be like, when someone asks, like, when do you fight? I'm like, this date.
Yes, leave me alone. This opponent, this day. Do you have an opponent in mind for your return fight?
No, I don't have anybody in mind. Who do you think, like, at 125, that would be a good?
I think we got to take it a little slow. You know, 2 years away. We don't want to jump right into the deep end. Correct?
Oh no. Okay.
Oh, do you? Maybe I'm okay. Am I wrong?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You tell me what you think. Then, like, what were you going? What was
Andrea
your path?
Lee.
Going?
Andrea Lee. She just won this weekend. No, bad.
No, I was thinking that's such a great idea.
Oh, okay.
Well, but I don't like to, you know, like, you know how I am.
You're not a call her outer.
No, I don't. I think, I know people don't mean it to be disrespectful, but like, I don't know.
It's not your style.
It's not my style. Absolutely.
Well, you threw me a bit of a curveball with the 125 thing, because, you know, I'm thinking of Tatiana Suarez 115er. So I wasn't prepared. You know, a fight that I think would be tremendous at 115 would be you versus Mackenzie Dern, given your style.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's a good one for sure. That would be interesting. Yeah. I like that one. Yeah. But I like both of those matchups though.
Do you have concern that the neck will keep popping up, or do you feel like it's an issue that has been resolved? Like that, you know, cause you didn't have surgery on any of these things. No neck surgery, none of that, right?
No,
no back surgery.
No, people, they thought, you know, like it was maybe a good idea, but I didn't want to go that route. I just did it like through lots of rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. I just, especially with my style, you know, I just was scared of how surgery would affect the flexibility and the range of my neck. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know. I've had this neck my whole life, and this is what I know how to deal with. And this is, you know what I mean? So it's just a little scary for me to like go the surgery route.
Okay.
So we'll see.
So it's just rehabbing.
But I don't. Yeah, that's careful. All I did. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I rehabbed it and then just gave it time. Like that's what I did the first time, you know, when I had the neck injury, when I stopped wrestling in the first place, is I just took time off. I took 3 years off of wrestling and it got better. You know, this time it was 2 years. So, you know, I guess it's improving.
This time next year, where's Tatiana Suarez at in her MMA career?
Me?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Who do you think I'm talking about?
At least hopefully. You said my name and everything. it's hard to think because I got a screaming puppy. Yeah. let's see. I would hope to be at least three fights from now, hopefully. Well, maybe. Okay. Yeah.
At 125. Least. If you go to 125 and fight three fights and win those three fights, you're fighting for a belt like around this time next year.
You think so? Because Lauren Murphy.
What do you mean, Lauren Murphy? What are you laughing about?
Because I feel.
What's so funny?
I feel like she's won like five in a row. Like she still has a title fight.
Well, okay.
I don't know. Am I crazy? How many times has she won in a row?
She's won 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row. But the thing is, like, I'm assuming Valentina's gonna have to fight someone in between now. I mean, she's not gonna sit and wait for you. So I'm just saying, because of your name, because of your undefeated record, because of all the buzz surrounding you, you know, three wins at 125, not going to take much more than that. It's probably the, other than women's featherweight, the most shallow division right now, right, in the UFC. Also because Valentina's beaten a lot of the top people already.
Right, right. Okay. Well, then there you go.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, because I was thinking, I don't know, because I keep hearing Laura Murphy like, oh, I should be next. And I'm like, and she still hasn't had a title fight. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is probably frustrating for her.
Great news. You're medically cleared. You're good to go. You're fighting Valentina Shevchenko in August. I mean, life is good. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it's great to see you back healthy. And we look forward to your return. Great to talk to you, Tatiana.
All right. Nice talking to you. Thank you very much for having
me. Bye-bye.
What's something that works so well that it's basically magic? Air conditioning, noise canceling headphones, meeting free Fridays. Well, what about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch at your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autographed apparel are selling sleek skis, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/DCRC. All lowercase, go to shopify.com/DCRC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/DCRC.
All right, let's say hello now to one of the big winners from this past weekend in Houston, Texas. What a fight. We all suspected it would be a fantastic fight. It ended up, of course, winning the fight of the night. Edson Barboza with that tremendous win against Shane Burgos. A lot to talk about there. Edson, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations on another great performance at 145 pounds. And Edson, I have to say off the top, I'm gonna raise my hand. I'm going to raise my hand and say, I'm sorry, because I said going into this fight, I'm worried about the weight cut for you. I'm worried about you at 145. Now, I think you should be going into the fight 2-0 at 145. I said, even though I thought he beat Dan Ige, and even though, of course, you beat Makwan Amirkhani, I'm worried cutting too much weight. But now, no more. I'm a believer. Edson, 145, no problem. So I'll say I'm sorry.
Yeah, everybody was so scared about the cutting weight, but I'm really skinny guy, you know. That's true. I don't have a problem to cut weight. It's the same feeling I have to cut 155. It's the same feeling cut 145.
Wow. What do you walk around at? Like, you know, 2 weeks from now after the fight, what will you be?
2 weeks out of fight, 170.
Wow. And you go, and no problem going down to 145. You don't find the last day is tougher.
But that's my weight when I fight 155. Same thing. Oh. Still the same.
Okay. Interesting. And you don't find like the Thursday, like the night before the weigh-ins or anything, that it's tougher to get those last pounds off?
Not really.
Okay.
Like the same feeling. Exactly the same feeling.
And that's crazy. I'm assuming you don't feel like you've lost power or energy, speed, anything like that.
No, definitely not. I feel, like I said, I feel more healthy right now because a couple of years ago, I needed to push myself to keep my weight high. I try to stay between like a 180, 175, but I kill myself, eat a lot of calories, kill myself. Right now, I don't need to do this anymore because I eat clean all the time. I eat, you know, I feel more healthy for me or my body.
Is there a part of you, Edson, that wishes you did this earlier in your career?
Yes, yes, exactly. Man, a couple years ago when I fought kickboxing in Brazil, you know, I never did diet in my life. I always bulk like 155 and fight 155. Sometimes I drop 145, but I do a diet my whole life, you know?
So why didn't you move down to 145 in the UFC earlier than you did last year? Like a couple of years ago, why didn't you do it?
Because I was still fighting 155, we're still in the top.
Yeah.
You know, I still fight with the big guys, for sure, way heavier than me, but I still beat the guys, you know?
Right.
I still want the best, 155. Still, why? Why when I, you know, suffer a little bit more? I don't need it. I still fine here, 155.
So your last two fights prior to this one, they were in the empty arenas, right? In the midst of the pandemic. The first one, of course, in Jacksonville, and then the next one in Abu Dhabi, this time sold out. Could you feel a difference? Did you sense a difference, like walking to the cage, even in the fight itself? Do you notice that there are people there as opposed to not?
It's very, very, very different. I really need to prepare myself, prepare my mind to that time. Yeah, it's different, especially for my style, you know. I feel when I have a whole crowd there, he's keeping pushing to go. Because every time you hit some good shot, I hear a whole crowd like, oh, I was like so excited. It's different. I'm very, very happy to fight with whole crowds back.
It was very apparent early on in the fight, at least to me, that you were in great form. The leg kicks were being fired very quickly. It actually reminded me a little bit of your UFC debut against Mike Lulo in Auburn Hills, Michigan, the way in which you were throwing those leg kicks and attacking. And I'm wondering if you knew early on, like you knew going into this fight that his leg would be exposed like that. Was that something that you were preparing for, or is it something you noticed in the moment?
No, I watch a lot of his fights. He's a really good boxer. I know he's worked very well with his hands. But he's a boxer, you know. He don't check the kick. And I know his leg will be there. That's I train for, you know. I train for a couple of weeks for beat his leg. And I think I'm doing well.
Yeah. At one point, though, you were bleeding. Your shin was bleeding. What happened there?
That's crazy. It's a big cut, my shin. And it's funny because I talked to my wife and my mom. Say, I don't feel nothing. But And I think in the second, between the second and the third round, I look his leg, I see a lot of blood. It was like, what happened? Because I didn't see it. And I look down and look my chin, it's a lot of blood. But I don't feel nothing. But it's automatic, I stop to kick. That's crazy. But I don't feel nothing.
What about after the fight? Did it hit you?
Yeah, I do a couple of states, but it's fine.
You've thrown a lot of leg kicks in your day. Has that ever happened to you before?
No, that's the first time I cut my shin with the kick. That's crazy.
So even in the fight, as your shin is bleeding and there's a cut, you still didn't feel a thing?
No, I'm still kicking. I stopped the kick when I see the blood.
Wow.
I see the blood, it was like, okay, something happened. But I don't feel. I really don't feel.
Wow. And how does it feel now?
It's good.
No problem.
My feet a little bit of swelling, but that's fine. A couple days off and I'm ready to kick again next week.
The finish is one of the most unique finishes that I've ever seen. And you've given us a lot of unique finishes in your career, but to punch someone like that and then to see them have the delayed reaction, you know, we sometimes see a punch to the body, a kick to the body, yes, and then there's a delayed reaction, but to the head, we don't see that. What do you, you know, what is going through your mind when you see him start to lose control and fall backwards like that after the punch?
It's crazy because I'm like most guys in the, over there. I didn't see it. I ask myself, what happened? What happened? Because I really don't know, because I connected good shots on him, really clean shots, and he's still there. That one, I connect a good shot, but he's still there. I start to see his leg shake a little bit. He's go down in front. I was like, okay, let's go finish the fight. Because I met with the judge, say, don't stop to hit and let me stop. Say, okay. But I connect two shots. I go straight. I talk to Donna first. I give my bundles and go straight, talk to my coach. He say, what happened? Because I really don't remember what shot I connected him to make it go down like that. That's crazy.
Have you ever seen that before? Has that ever happened to you where someone had
No, that's not never happened with me, but I see it, but not that long.
Yeah.
Connect the shot, but in a couple seconds, 2-3 seconds go down. I think it's 6 seconds to connect and go down. That's 6 seconds delay, you know?
Right. Did you talk to him after the fight?
Yeah, I talked to him in the backstage. He's such a nice guy. Very tough. Definitely one of the best. And it's a lot of respect for him. And I hope he's come back stronger.
Was he okay back there?
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Okay. Yeah, he's fine. He's fine.
Wow, that is unbelievable. And so, you know, you get this amazing win and it's two in a row. It should be three in a row, in my opinion.
Three.
All right, three in a row. You know, but you had that stretch there, you know, with the Felder fight, which I know you also think you won, and, you know, Gaethje, cool, and even prior to that, Kevin Lee and Khabib. If I would have told you that things would turn around for you here in this new weight class a year and a half or so ago, 2 years ago, would you have believed me?
No. That's crazy because if you ask me like a couple years ago, say, nah, that's not going to happen. That's crazy.
But were you starting to lose hope, confidence?
No. I think because I start feeling like, okay, I need some new challenge with myself. That's it. Just new challenge of myself, you know? That's what I feel. That's what I was changed for 145. Because 155, I feel I just fighting for fight, you know, just fighting to make some money. Okay, of course, I want to be a champ. I want to be a number one. But when 155 division, because I fought, not everybody, but the best guys in the world are still fighting, you know, like, okay, let's fight. Okay, yeah, motivated. But I don't feel like for real, you know, like I excited to be a champ. And when I decide to drop 145, this is start again, you know, I still like that's the beginning again, you know, that's I feel different right now because I feel like I know I can do be a champ. I know I can be a champ for sure. And like I said, that's a new begin for me.
Who came up with the idea first to go down to 145?
I talked to my wife about this, and she said, "Are you crazy?" When I'm dead. But she pushed me a little bit. My wife's brother talked to me about that. And I have a really good friend of mine, Jim Stewart from United States, one of my best friends right here in the United States. He talked to me like a long time ago. "What do you think about drop 155? I said, "Bro, you're crazy. How do I want to drop 155? And it's a think about, you know? And yeah, I did it.
Wow. And so, all right. So now you have this situation where you're on this roll, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, this was the first fight of your new contract, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever test, like, the Makwan fight? That was your last fight of the last contract?
No.
There was one left?
Supposed to be one more, yeah.
Did you consider testing free agency, or did you always want to stay with the UFC?
At that time, I think about testing, you know?
Yeah.
To be a free agent, but thank God I sit down with my manager. My manager talked to UFC, and inside a new deal, like a good deal for me, and for sure it's a good deal for the companies too. I'm very, very happy with my new contract.
Okay. You said last week it kind of made some headlines that you said this is the first time in your career you feel like you're getting what you're owed. Is that accurate?
Exactly. Exactly. That this is motivating me a lot, you know? I was like every day the gym saying, right now the guy paid me what I really deserve.
Yeah. But the first thing that came to mind when I read that, Edson, was you've been in the UFC for 11 years. What took so long?
That's crazy. It's funny because I was in the backstage. I talked to Shannon Burgos. He's come to me. He said, "Bro, I remember watching your fight. I was in high school." I was like, "Oh, man, I get older." That's funny. But at the same time, I'm feeling well because I say, I'm getting older, but I still beat these guys, you know, the young guys. I feel better than ever. That's crazy.
By the way, before you said, you know, you were thinking that, you know, maybe you needed to do some sort of change, some new challenge when you were, you know, in that period at 155. Did you think about leaving MMA, or when you say new challenge within the sport of MMA?
No, leave it. No, leave.
Okay.
And okay. MMA, but like a new challenge to keep pushing me. I try to think about maybe go up to 170 or go down to 145. Wow. Or do something different, you know,
right,
to make
right.
me wake me up, you know. Again,
when you consider your own journey in this sport and your own career, and then you see what your fellow Brazilian Charles Oliveira did on Saturday and what he has been through, the ups and downs as well, and then the reception mm-hmm. he got back home in Sao Paulo, the parade, how do you react to that? Does it make you feel like this is something I want to, this is something that I can have as well?
100%, for sure. That's, I saw him, this motivates me a lot. He's such a nice guy. I'm very happy to have an opportunity to fight in the same night with him. You see everything. This guy, it's crazy because me and him almost like a close, go enter the UFC, we're super close. And I saw him, I follow him, you know, my whole career, his whole career. And happy with him, I know can happen with me too.
It's an amazing thing. That parade is, mm-hmm. is incredible to see all the people coming out and cheering him on. So for you, what makes sense next? Have you thought about that yet? When do you want to return and against who?
I want to return August, like end August.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I need just recovering my feet. Only my feet get hurt, but thank God I'm still healthy. And yeah, I want to fight top five, man. I think I really deserve a top five. You know, I beat Dan Ige, he's a top 10. Right now, Burgos at his top 10. And I really deserve the top five guy.
I'm trying
and
to look.
Especially because the top five guys, you see, all those guys really good, very, very tough. And I know if I have opportunity to fight those guys, it's going to be a big show again. It's good for the promote, good for UFC. It's going to be a big war. Imagine if fight me against Qatar. It's going to be a great fight.
Yeah.
Me against Zumbi Korea. It's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Me against Holloway.
Me that was against, the one I was thinking of.
Pantera. I forget his name.
Yair Rodriguez.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Bro, it's going to be a crazy fight. I know it's going to be a good fight.
Do you have a preference, like the top choice for you?
Any one of those, the top five, is going to be perfect for me.
Okay.
Especially because I really believe I deserve. Because I have opportunity to fight everybody 155.
Mm-hmm.
I fought everybody. Never picked somebody. I never asked to fight somebody. Bro, I really deserve. Bro, I have 10 years in UFC. Come on. Mm-hmm. I really deserve the top five.
This time next year, Edson, where are you in the division?
I don't remember.
No, this time next year. Are you?
Next year?
Yeah, next year. Where are you?
Bro, I want to pick the door to get my chance for the title shot, for sure. I want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to do like a true fight this year.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, get my chance to get the title shot. Or depends who I want to fight this year, like a next one, and get my chance for the title shot. I really believe that.
And no more 155. You're sticking at 145.
I'm a fighter, you know. If a guy asks me to fight some good fight 155, why not?
Right.
But my focus right now, be a champ 145 in featherweight division.
I love it. Edson, parabéns. Congratulations on the win. You're looking great, my man. You're really looking great at 145. And that was a tremendous fight, a tremendous performance. And I'm sure you're happy with Tony Ferguson for getting 25 extra thousand, right?
I think I need to give it 10% for him.
Well, well deserved, well earned. Looking forward to what's next for you, and I hope your leg heals up soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you one more time for the opportunity to talk to you guys.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right. Let's say hello now to one of the greatest female fighters in the history of the sport. Dare I say one of the greatest fighters, period, in the history of mixed martial arts. The great Chris Cyborg, who, of course, is the reigning defending Bellator women's featherweight champion and who returns to action this Friday, May 21st, in a rematch against Leslie Smith. She defends her title against Leslie Smith this time over at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. Chris, good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, Karel. I'm great. Thanks for the opportunity to be here. I'm very excited, happy to fight this time.
Yes, I'm sure you are. And it's been a minute, as they say, since we last saw you in action. What was your reaction, Chris, when you found out that Leslie Smith would be your next opponent, considering you beat her about 5 years ago?
You know, when you start to see the division, you see after their loss, she's got a lot of wins, you know, significant wins. And I know I have a lot of girls in the line, but she's in the front of the line. I was not surprised because I'm a better fighter now than before.
Really?
So in 5 years, we fought before. In 5 years, for sure, you know, if she's fighting for me for the title, she's really deserved. She's really working hard is the way. And, you know, she just prepare harder, you know, to prepare harder.
Why do you think you're a better fighter now than you were 5 years ago?
Because I always like to improve and learn, you know, and the experience too. If you see my fights too, you see the difference, you know, the when I'm fighting. And I'm better because I always like to learn. And you know the same person 5 years ago. Like even operator, you know Sam, you know Sam 5 years ago. So even in the person, you know, 5 years and you work something, you're getting better and better. You know, if you continue training, work hard, you're gonna be better and better in 5 years, you know.
Now there was a time when not that long ago you were going to South Africa for your training camps. I'm assuming you're not doing that right now, right?
Okay, yes, I have no able to do because the COVID, you know. Yeah. I went to the couple fights over there, and then the other time I came here, bring it here. This time I did my camp in my gym and then Cobrinha, you know, Cobrinha, Aliança Cobrinha Jiu-Jitsu, and we did my team, you know, we didn't want my team for this camp.
Okay. And you know, when I think back to that fight against Leslie Smith back in 2016, that was a 140-pound catchweight fight. I think that's the one that ESPN followed you during the weight cut and everything outside the lines, right? When you were in the bathtub crying, was that the one?
Yeah, this is the second fight.
The second one, okay.
Yes.
What was that one? So this one was at 140, it was in 2016. The second one was against Lena Landsberg, also at 140.
Yes, yes.
When you think back to that time when you were trying to maybe go down to 135, but making a pit stop at 140, how difficult was it for you?
You know, it was the first fight for Leslie Smith. I was just thinking about that fight. You know, I wasn't thinking I'm going to fight second time. Hmm. But then when I say, you know, I want to come back to Invicta, fight 145, my division, thank you. You know, but, you know, I was not having the opportunity to come back. You know, for me, it was really stressed because I like to do everything perfect. This is one thing. It's not good you want to do perfect all the time. But, you know, I like to make the weight. I say, man, if you're going to be responsible to make weight, how are we going to make weight? I'm going to do my best I can. You know, and I was being working 3 years with George McCarthy. He's the guy who was helping me for the cut weight. And I make first time on 40 for fat less. But the fox is this fight was make weight. Mm. You know, it's not just the fight camp for fight. You know, it's like my opponent. I was working, of course, to train everything, but it's the real stress is the make weight. So now it's different mindset. You know, as I fight my division, now I can focus 100% on my opponent. But that time, and then you don't know how's everybody going to feel. Okay, how's it going to work? 5 rounds, cut to 140. So now I know, man, I have 5 rounds. Okay, cool. I have time. Soon I have the opportunity to finish fight. I will, but I have 5 rounds to do this. Like, it's different in mindset.
So you beat her in a minute and 21 seconds. Is there a part of you that feels like you could have beaten her even quicker had you not had to cut those extra 5 pounds?
I don't know. Maybe if I don't think about the same, man, how's my body going to feel in the third round, two rounds? Mm. Maybe not. You know, maybe not. And it's about feeling too. People ask me, Chris, how is it going to be different this fight? You know, better than the before. You know, for me, it's about feeling. You go to the fight to have in all plans, have plan B, E, you know, but sometimes it's not working the plan. You're going to really feel the fight in the fight. You know, what to work for, be ready for any situation in the fight. This is a heavy.
So this is now going to be your third fight with Bellator after you left the UFC. How do you feel there? Do you feel like this is your home? Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel happy?
Yeah, that makes me feel happy. I feel at home and I have a fire in my heart, excited to, you know, fight every time and happy, thankful. You know, I'm very thankful to be here, work Scott Coker. You know, it's a lot of people work with me here, work with me in Strikeforce. And it's really nice to see it as a partnership. You know, I'm here and they treat very nice all the fighters and I'm really happy.
16 years now in the game for you, Chris, and you're 35, you're still young. How many more years do you want to do this for?
Great question, Ariel. I didn't know. Everybody asking me. But, you know, I feel great. I always, you know, the one thing I'm learning about my cut weight, you know, I'm in health now, better than before. I think the experience getting better to make the weight too. And I really work on about, I'm going to Colombia, do the stem cells, take care of my injuries, you know, can continue fighting my long career. You know, but I don't feel when I want to stop. I don't have a bad injury. You know, I love my job. I know it's going to be my job forever, like yours. But, you know, I love my job. And then I'm going to continue, do, you know, till I feel my heart. You know, in my heart, I don't think I'm going to feel, no, stop it. But I think in one time, yeah, for sure, I'm going to say, man, now maybe I have to retire. But, you know, for me now, I'm in prime in my time. And I will feel very happy. You guys see my last fights. And I will it. Really get improved and yes, excited.
And so there's a chance you're fighting as a 40-year-old.
Maybe after Gray's gonna kill me after I have a kid, maybe.
Oh, okay. Are you planning on having one? Is that what you're talking about? Is that too personal? I don't know.
You know, it's like I say, we have a plan. I don't believe in plan. I believe like I don't do my plans. God have a plan for me. So So for me, of course, I think every girl would like to have be a mom. You know, I'm already mom the Gabi. You know, but you know, I think it's special. But let's see what's the moment, right moment. But I didn't think about this yet. But you know, it's people like my family say, oh, so when you're gonna have my granddaughter, grandson, you know. But you know, for me, it's nice. But I'm happy continue fighting, see the right moment.
You talked about your evolution as a fighter, as a person over the past 5 years. Do you think have you felt a noticeable change in who you are since becoming a mom, since adopting your daughter? Do you feel like it has changed you for the better?
I believe yes. I think everyone get better when they have a kid. Mm-hmm. Because you see, you have to be okay. I always have in my mind think like this. Okay, I'm responsible for, because I'm gonna be example for everyone. People are gonna watch you, you're gonna be influenced. So we have to go good influence for them, you know, for the kids, young kids, you know, the people watching you. And they have a kid inside the house, it's the same thing. You know, you cannot do stuff when you do by yourself when you have a kid around you. Now you have to do good, because if they didn't copy you everything you do. You know, it's the same thing, be a fighter, be an influence for the people. You have to do good too, because you're going to be influenced for a lot of people. And this is big responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, is you have to be good for the generation, for the kids young. And for me, for sure, you know, I'm more patient. You know, I want to be my best I can, you know, and try to fix a couple of things. And for sure, we change it every day.
Now, be honest with me, Chris. When you hear people say, Amanda Nunes is the greatest of all time, does it bother you? Does it bother you inside?
You know, don't bother me inside, but I was thinking like this. Okay, everybody asked me, Chris, I don't bother me inside, but people say this all the time. Oh, gonna come another girl, they're gonna say the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the after sale about me, like it's change. This thing could change. But they have to say, like, Amanda have 4 losses in her career. You know, okay, you guys say, oh, she's the goal. Then I always start to challenge, compare me and her, you know. But I did the sport, who I am don't change, you know. Like what I did in the sport, not having athletes did the sport. Maybe in the future, I'm gonna have more to do, but now in the moment, what is the sport? Nobody did, you know. I'm the Grand Slam champion, they don't have this, but I'm not gonna compare for her, you know. Who I am, what I do my best, like it's who I am. Who loves me, gonna love me, gonna think Cyprus the greatest, you know. I'm never gonna say this, you know. I don't say I am the greatest. No, I feel like the fans are to do. It's not the person in person say that, but don't bother me. You know, people the long term are gonna see that.
Recently, there is a woman who has emerged, who is saying that she will be the greatest by the time her career is done. Kayla Harrison. Have you been impressed by her, and do you think she has what it takes to end up being the greatest?
You know, I'm not gonna say she's not. You know, she's young. She have a long, long career. You know, and she's doing great at her what she's doing. You know, and you have to think this way. You know, you have to say and you have to do. You know, it's big responsibility when you say out. You know, and then you to do. So no, if she believe that she continue work hard, I think, man, she's young. She can do a lot of things.
She's going to be a free agent after this year. Her contract is coming up. Would you like for Bellator to sign her so that you can fight her? That would be a big time fight, I would imagine.
It's going to be amazing. You know, let's see if she's going to finish her fight with her title. I can go up 155, fight her, because I always protected the division, you know, and then like this, not protect the division this way, but I want in the future to have more division for the women, you know, and you like the men's have a lot of division. So for protecting 155 division, for having more girls 155 division, I can go up fight 155. It's no problem.
Wow, is that a fight that you would like her? You know, her being one of your opponents in 2022.
Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe. But yeah, if she's gonna be in Bellator for sure, you can make this fight happen.
Okay. And so, like, when you look at, I mean, like, Chris, 2005, you made your debut. You went like 15 years there without a loss. Only 2 losses on your record. Do you feel like you don't get, I mean, you could say, like, do you feel like you don't get the respect that you deserve when talking about the greatest of all time? Do people not talk about Chris Cyborg enough?
You know, as people have a short memories.
Yes, yes.
No, people don't remember everything. Muhammad Ali have a loss. Everybody yeah. talk about the last day, but he's have. No, he say he's the greatest. Like people have a short memory, but don't bore me. You know, people know who I am, follow me, know who I am, and then this is okay.
Okay. How do you think Clarissa Shields is going to do?
I believe she's going to do great because she's young and she's learned fast. Mm-hmm. No, and she's already have good skill in boxing. And then, you know, the MMA start stand up. And she's going to have to work a lot of things for sure. No, but she's young. I started training MMA when 19 years old and I didn't know any skills. I don't have boxing in my background, you know. But I dedicated. Depend how she's going to be dedicated every day, all day training. This is going to depend on who she's going to do in her next match and then improve her career in MMA life.
Do you think you can do both or do you have to be all in on one?
What do you mean?
Like, can you go from, you know, because boxing is different than MMA, right? There's different things to worry yes. about with your feet and with your, you know, your hands and with your head. And in MMA, it's completely different. There's a lot of other things to worry about as well. Can a fighter go back and forth? Can they reprogram their brain or is it better to be all in on one sport?
I believe like this, because if she's doing MMA, okay, and if she going to the box, I think it's not too hard going to the box because you already have little bit strike. Mm-hmm. I think, believe it, coming to the boxing, to MMA, have a lot of things to learn. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things, like wrestler, defending, you know, like attack. I think you have a process. First, you're going to learn defend. After, you're going to learn attack. But take the process a long time, you know. It's going to be hard, but depending on her, how she dedicate, you know. But it's going to be hard. But I believe she's young. I mean, I did this. I was, and I have anything, you know. I start strike Muay Thai. And after I did everything, you know. But the 6 months I did my MMA fight. But we don't know too much things, you know. But I believe she's dedicated. Like I dedicated. I think she's going to do very well.
Did you see Charles Oliveira win on Saturday? And to see a fellow Brazilian with that emotion and his story, how did it make you feel?
No, I was very happy about this because for a long time I was saying, man, why did they give it the belt fight for the belt? He's having a lot of wins. He's amazing. You can see his record. He's having like beginning his career, he's like all win. They lost like a couple of fights and win. And she never had the opportunity to fight for the title. Yeah. Like I was, but you see, he's really persistent, training, believe. Even the people don't believe in him. And now the results is the champion. I'm really happy.
It's amazing. Not that long ago, I feel like we were saying, oh, Brazilian MMA, it's kind of going down a little bit. But, you know, there's you champion in Bellator, Amanda, of course, double champion, Davison Figueiredo, and now Charles Oliveira. All of a sudden, Brazilian MMA is back. Or maybe it never left.
You know, I was really support Chandler. You know, he's the Bellator, came from yep. Bellator. I was happy he's champion then, UFC. Uh-huh. You know? But then, but Charles Oliveira, he's having history behind him. You know, he's the moment, you know, the get it done when he's really deserve. They work hard. And, you know, I know the people, he's from Shooter Box, São Paulo, Macaco Gold Gym, you know, like he's really deserved that moment.
Last thing for you, Chris, and always great to talk to you. Obviously, the career isn't over yet. But, you know, we're sort of looking back at what you've done and how much time you have left. Is there one period of your career as you sit here today that you think back to a lot, that you think fondly of, that you get nostalgic about? Like, was it maybe the Elite XC days or the Strikeforce? Do you find yourself thinking about one period of your career where you were really happy and just kind of on top of the world, enjoying everything that comes with being an MMA fighter?
The moment you're really happy. I think in the beginning of my career, I didn't know too much about anything, all the politics. I just want to go inside the cage doing my best and fight. I didn't know anything outside. Mm. You know, now I know too much.
Yeah.
I think it best. Sometimes you know too much, you better, you know. But I think in the beginning of my career, I just said, one girl, come from Brazil. We have a dream in your heart and you follow your dream. And I was the very happy. I'm happy now too. But, you know, the beginning of career is I was happy too.
Yeah, there's an innocence involved in the beginning of your career where
you know, because sometimes I see kids like in the training, you know, at the gym, and you talk to them and you know they're going to have to figure it out. Mm. You know, it's going to be the experience. Like, man, you know, I know when I was the point in my life like this, you know, like the beginning. They just dream. But then sometimes you see the reality. And yes.
Well, it's great to see you still on top, still thriving, and looking forward to your return this Friday against Leslie Smith. A great card is also Austin Vanderford against Fabian Edwards on the card as well, and a whole bunch of other great fights. So thank you for the time, Chris. Good luck to you on Friday, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks so much, Ariel. See you next time. Yes.
All right. Bye-bye.
But, then remember, I forget to say, guys, if you guys want to watch the preliminary fights, you'd like to go to my website. And I'm going to do Zoom party after my fight. Go to my website. You guys can check out the link. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. All the best.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so great stuff there from Chris Cyborg, from Edson Barbosa, from Tatiana Suarez. Also want to let you know, I have a really good interview with, or at least I think it is, with Arjun Buller, who's the new one heavyweight champion, beat Brandon Vera in a fight that aired over the weekend. Former UFC fighter, historic win, first fighter of Indian descent to win a major MMA title. So that's up on the ESPN MMA YouTube channel. You can watch all the interviews that just aired here on the YouTube channel as well. And the train rolls along as far as MMA is concerned. Bellator back on Friday. Sneaky good card. Chris Cyborg, Leslie Smith, which we just talked about with Chris. Darion Caldwell against Leandro Ego. Christian Edwards against Ben Parrish. Fight that I'm really looking forward to. Fabian Edwards, unrelated to Christian, against Austin Vanderford, a.k.a. Mr. Van Zandt, undefeated 10-0. Austin Vanderford, Fabian's 9-1. And so that's going down this Friday. Also this Friday, the return of the new Invicta, now airing on Access TV, the rebranded Invicta. They have a new owner. It's Anthem Sports and Entertainment. So I'm looking forward to see what they come up with. Also, LFA is going down on Friday. And then the UFC is back this Saturday. Headliner Rob Font, Cody Garbrandt. Going to be great to see Cody back in there. He's been through a lot over the past year. COVID-19, blood clots, vertigo, torn bicep, but he's good to go. Also, Carlos Esparza versus Yan Xianan, a fight that I think should be the number one contender fight at 115. That's a massive fight. Carla has the history with Rose. Yan, of course, undefeated in the UFC. Also, Felicia Spencer returning, my fellow Canadian, my fellow Montrealer. Jack Hermanson against Edmund Shabazian on the card as well. That's a really big fight at 185 pounds. Court McGee on the prelims, Yancy Medeiros, and a whole host of others as well. 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus, and main card is 7 p.m. Eastern on the platform that Chael and I built, ESPN Plus. All right, again, congratulations to the new lightweight champion, Charles Oliveira. What a great scene it was. I think it was on Tuesday or Monday? Monday. Him coming home, the parade, all that stuff and more. I look forward to talking to him in the coming weeks. But for now, we are out of time. Again, thank you to our guests. Thank you to our production team. Thanks to all of you for continuing to download, rate, review, subscribe, all those places that you do that kind of stuff, that you consume this show. It is very appreciated. Watch the fights this weekend. Back next week to talk about them all. Same time and place. Until then, I say peace. I'm out of here.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.